It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Really starting to get into the business end of the season now. Just 5 games to go and already things are being flipped on their head up here in Queensland. Welcome to Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. My name's Nick Davis. Joining me as always, Jack Fulham. But we've had a little bit of a last minute change. Our man Will Ralston down in Melbourne, unfortunately isolating for 14 days is our man. So instead, off the bench again, Brett Thomas, welcome.
Geez, even COVID's affecting the Northern Exposure.
No, we won't let it hurt us, but look, fellas, this was a strange old week, and we'll start with the Brisbane Lions. And before we even get to what happened in the game, let's just have a chat about that road we refer to so often on this podcast, the M1. Jack, you and I were actually caught in this traffic heading down to the Gold Coast for a separate footy game. Our game didn't actually get pushed back or anything. We didn't get to the same practice concessions made for us. But the M1, for all you fans listening, either inside Queensland or out, could be the worst stretch of road, and the fact that the two teams were fixtured to play on a Friday night whilst being in Brisbane going down, that was a ridiculous call in the first place, and no more Friday night games at Metricon, Jack.
Yeah, no more Friday night games at Metricon. You're deadly right about that. And it's, as you know, the M1 is that highway that connects Brisbane and the Gold Coast, and there's a little area just outside of Logan, so probably about 40 kilometres north of Metricon where the road ceases to be a motorway and becomes more like the Fury Road from Mad Max, where just VS Holden Commodores are swerving all across the road, and Instagram influencers driving Suzuki Swifts are just crashing into the back of trucks. It's a carnage road. And the Tigers, unfortunately, got caught up in that carnage on Friday night and ended up having to push the bounce back, which they didn't do for our game. That's what I'm saying, Nick. If we can rock up 10 minutes before the bounce, put our boots on and go and play, why can't the Tigers?
Well, unfortunately, the Tigers didn't really seem to affect their preparation. Getting the jump on the Lions, a 20-point win. And I want to have a look at this Brisbane team structurally here, because we said last week with Eric Hipwood going down that their forward line, how their makeup would be affected, more weight on Joe Danaher and Dan McStay's shoulders. But just after we finished recording last week, Marcus Adams went down with that same foot injury that's plagued him throughout his career. And you could really see what impact he has had on this side. Him not being down there for the Lions, Jack Riewoldt was able to get 6 goals. Ryan Lester looked a bit out of sorts, and Harris Andrews just had another off night. But all of a sudden, it's the hole in the back line that really needs to be plugged.
Yeah, bloody oath. As you said, Ryan Lester, just the one game back in the VFL, probably not big enough to go with Riewoldt. Harris Andrews probably not quick enough, and playing in his 300th game, they were going to get up for that, and Jack Riewoldt did. And he's an underrated defender, Marcus Adams, and especially the way he's come back into the side. Just one game last year, I think that was round one, and he's come back in seamlessly and showed how important he is. But Harris Andrews went down last year. Jack Payne came in. They're able to cover for him. So hopefully they can do the same. But in terms of matchups, they've certainly lost a bit of flexibility there.
Well, coming into this Q clash now this weekend, as we said, the fixture has changed around. It'll now be the Lions versus the Suns Saturday afternoon at the Gabba. And there's going to be some more changes needing to be made because, Brett, as we saw just over an hour ago as we record this midday on Tuesday, Lachie Neale has gone down with a shoulder injury, I believe.
Yeah, he left the track early. Some vision of him clutching at that shoulder, the same one that he partially dislocated a few weeks ago. So hopefully there's nothing sinister in that, because they're on a 2-game losing skid, and all of a sudden, the Suns are really competitive. When they normally drop away at this point in the season, they're starting to lift. So, massive game when you've got the Swans breathing down their neck in sixth, and then Port Adelaide jumping above them in fourth. So, when it looked like they were fighting for top two, now they're fighting just to get into the top four.
One of the things the Lions probably might be a little bit worried about is that on Friday night, all their prime movers got plenty of the ball. Lyons, Orko, McCluggage, even Lachie Neale picked up, over 25 possessions. It was just the sort of bottom six players and a lot of the young players that had really off nights. And you wonder about these guys that have been really good this year, like Devon Robinson, Jackson Pryor, Kadeen Coleman. They had absolute stinkers. So that young sort of Lions, those young Lions players that have been blooded this year, maybe they're starting to get a little little bit tired too.
Yeah, it's a good point. I have been noticing that the last few weeks. And you look at the VFL side, which is getting smashed a lot, there's not a lot of depth there, but maybe there's a couple of guys they could have a look at. Tom Berry's been the medical sub a lot. Maybe he gets more of a crack. He came in for Archie, I think, last week. But maybe it's an opportunity for a Carter Michael to debut. He's kind of a Grant Birchall successor. Great left boot. Maybe a Nekiah Cockatoo. I know he missed a VFL game recently, but perhaps they have a look at some other guys just to give these other younger guys a bit of a rest, find some more footy in the VFL and see what depth they've got coming underneath them. Because if they do get some more injuries, with Lachie Neal going down at training today, they're going to need some guys to potentially come in and play a role. Alice Yeoman, Jared Berry made their return in the VFL practice match on the weekend, which is a good sign because they're lacking that little bit of depth there.
Yeah, it'll certainly be tested. I did notice Nekiah Cockatoo was named as the emergency for the game on Friday night. Possibly, I think that's the first time we've seen that this year. So interesting things to come for the Lions. One piece of good news, though, Lincoln McCarthy signing on for another 3 years. And, well, hasn't he just been the poster boy for the Lions medical team? So great news there for Link.
Yeah, 58 of 60 games. I think he's played since he came over at the start of the 2019 season. And he might have been the reason why they got the likes of a Joe Danaher, because he's proof that their medical team is able to get these guys, bring them in and get their bodies right. And maybe Cockatoo is another one. He's been used across half back and half forward in the VFL. He'd had a mullet there at one point, but he's cut that off. But looks smart to have put on some size in the lower body as well. So hopefully the injury issues at the Cats are behind him, because he could be a real X factor. He is super fast and could provide a little bit of, you know, something that they don't quite have in that side at the moment.
And the Lions will be praying to Gary Ablett Sr. that they don't have to go down to Metricon again this year, because they've lost two of their best players to knee injuries down there, and then they've lost their last two matches in a row. It's been a bit of a nightmare spot down the Gold Coast for the Lions.
It's like what Marvel is to what it used to be to the Demons and maybe the Tigers. They don't like playing there.
Fortunately, the shoe is on the other foot this weekend. As we said, that game will be played at the Gabba with the fixture swap. So let's have a look at the Gold Coast now, who will be their opponents. And despite the 11-point loss to the Bulldogs, they were within arm's reach the whole time, but I wouldn't even call this a brave performance. This was a really good side that the Gold Coast came up against, and they were with them all the way, but just that little bit off. But I don't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah, and they've started to find some guys like Jeremy Sharp. Took him a while to come into the side. He's played four in a row, winning plenty of the footy, looks composed. Fiorini is getting a crack when it looked like, you know, he was heading for the exit door. Sam Flanner's just signed a new deal. He's been really good. And they've had some injuries, yet they've still been able to be more than competitive, because it wasn't like the Dogs really had an off day. Their prime movers, McRae, Bontempelli, Bailey Dale, still had good afternoons, and Jamari Ugal-Hagan as well was really impressive. But they managed to stay with them for the full four quarters, and really good timing considering it's, you know, started to talk about potentially the future of Stuart Dew, and maybe a Nathan Buckley or even Alistair Clarkson might be suited to put them on the map, the Gold Coast Suns. So they're certainly sort of come from nowhere when this is the time of year we normally expect them to completely drop away. So some really good signs.
And that was the kind of thing we were half expecting to see on Saturday, where Gold Coast had been up for a couple of weeks, they put in a couple of good performances. You were rocking up to the ground expecting that, oh, this might be the one that they bottle. And they were really good. And every time the Doggies look like sort of blowing them away, the Suns managed to respond. And as you said, those younger players, especially Jeremy Sharp, he got the Rising Star nomination for this week, 30 touches at 90% efficiency.
How good.
They've found a few, and Alex Sexton, he would have to be the most frustrating player in the AFL. Did some incredible things on Saturday. Also, at times, struggled to even get near the footy. He would have to be the biggest Rocks and Diamonds player in the AFL.
Geez, he loves a goal. Yeah, but you know, he's a quality player, and you just know, I think, that if, you know, the Sun, he's been dropped a couple of times. If he was let go and went to another club, he could be of real value, because he can certainly kick a goal, that's for sure. Will Powell, again, continued his strong season, and Tuk Miller, all-Australian form. You know, the way he is able to attack the contest, and there was a moment where McRae, who's one of the most elusive quick players in the AFL, tried to shake him off, and he tackled him. He is, you know, a genuine star of the competition now, and someone that they can build a midfield around. When Matty Rowell, you know, has been a little bit quiet coming back, but, you know, the rest of the midfield's really standing up.
And also, you had During the week, they lost Hugh Greenwood for the rest of the year. Oleg Markov was out. Brandon Ellis, you know, one of their other prime movers, pinged a hammy early in the game. So for the Suns to be able to stand up whilst missing that trio just really shows that there's a little bit more depth there and there's a bit of a belief.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we thought had completely dropped away from the Suns. So, yeah, good to see.
Well, looking forward to this clash on Saturday, Arvo. Of course, your man Jack Alex Sexton will play his 150th game. Real Rocks and Diamonds operator. He's got there in the end. And we look at, it wouldn't be a Q clash without, you know, speaking about the key matchup. And finally, it's not just about the fire this time. Both Dane Zorko and Took Miller, the little men will go into battle with each other, but they are both in career best form at the moment. And finally, this just won't be about the fight. This will actually be about how both of them perform. So I'm really excited for this here. Should be a good crowd in, pending nothing changes in the COVID landscape. But gentlemen, I will get your tips for this game because I'm very interested to see how this goes down.
Well, I'll go with the Lions. I think this is the week that they're going to bounce back. I think they've had a couple of down weeks and maybe been shaken up, and I think this will probably shake them into gear a little bit. Certainly the Suns have been really competitive, but I reckon the Lions will enjoy being back at the Gabba.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Brett. The Lions, they're pretty much at the desperation station if they want a top four berth this year, so they need to win this match. And the Gabba hasn't been a happy hunting ground for the Suns in the last couple of years, especially in Q clashes. They've been blown off the park a few times. So I expect the Lions to get the job done probably by about 5 goals.
Oh, well, there we have it. I was going to go the Lions as well. Sorry, Suns fans. We tried to build it up for you, but the Lions will probably get this one done. Brett Thomas, thank you so much for filling in this week. Jack Fulham, thank you once again. It's been Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.